So where do we start here? Chad Morris, I have to, you know, major props, thumbs up to him. In August, you know, here we are, and you know, getting ready for a season. Took time out, had a nice long 15-minute discussion with him. He was doing everything he possibly could to sell the Arkansas program. What went wrong?
Well, Johnny, you know, multiple things. I think, first of all, I think it was probably a lot worse than what he thought it was in terms of talent. You know, with Brett Bielema did not leave him, you know, a whole lot of great talent. There's some, but I think he probably underestimated how empty the cupboard was at that point. You know, after Brett Bielema lost Sam Pittman on the offensive line as offensive line coach when he went to Georgia, I think really the offensive line really dropped off. And so I think you're still seeing the, you know, the negativity of that today in terms of the offensive line. And so then I think he came in there, and I think he struggled, Johnny, in being able to connect with the Bielema players that were still there. You have a balance there between bringing in this top 25 recruiting class that he did last year, giving those guys playing time, as well as, you know, trying to balance out the seniors that were there under Bielema. I just don't think he had that connection, Johnny. I think he struggled with it. And as you saw against Kentucky and A&M, they played tough. They lost to San Jose State. But after they lost to Kentucky, as Barry Lunney and Hunter Yurecek said, I think once they lost that game to Kentucky, I think they thought the season's over with. We go to, you know, we play Auburn, we play Alabama, got blown out, and then had a chance, obviously, against Mississippi State, got blown out there in Western Kentucky. So I think there were multiple levels there, but I just don't think he came in knowing how difficult this program, what a difficult position this program was in.
Ideally, who would be the perfect fit to take over this program?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, Johnny. You know, I don't know. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, you want to have a guy that has some SEC experience. You know, there's been rumors about, you know, multiple guys from Mike Norvell at Memphis.
SEC experience, maybe somebody who actually likes Arkansas. I wonder who that could possibly be.
Well, again, when you look at some of the folks that Hunter Yurecek has tried to hire in the past, one is a guy named Lane Kiffin.
Please don't go. Don't go there. Don't go there.
Yes.
Don't.
You have a guy like Sam Pittman that would be an out of the box kind of guy. You have a Mike Leach who has SEC experience. He was at Kentucky.
I actually like Mike Leach. Now, look, I think Mike Leach would at least be interesting.
Yes. So you know what's great. So here's the situation with the Razorback fans, Johnny, is that they saw what Hunter Yurecek did with the basketball program. So, you know, he was going after Kelvin Sampson at Houston. That didn't work out. And look who fell in his lap, but Eric Musselman. And everybody here in Arkansas loves Eric Musselman, loves his attitude, loves his work ethic, loves his X and O's. So the question is, can he come up with a hire that may be outside the box? You know, is it somebody that we're not thinking of? Is it somebody, but will he make a rule? So I even heard a name, Jeff Fisher, which obviously, you know, being there in Tennessee. So I don't know, Johnny. All I know is that is somebody that can, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, is Jeff Fisher's agent just having fun? Because you hear that name associated with Vanderbilt as well. Is it one of these things where, gee, I haven't heard my client's name out there. I guess I got to earn, you know, he's not really going to be up for a job or anything. So maybe if I just get his name out there, float around, maybe I can get a couple of gigs here and there for him. I don't understand.
Let me say this. Nothing. Listen, I love Derek Mason, but the job at Vanderbilt is not as good as the job at Arkansas. Listen, Arkansas has more resources. Even though it's in the most difficult division in America, I think it's more attractive to take the job at Arkansas. If Jeff Fisher wants to do the Herm Edwards route. Herm Edwards has proved everybody wrong. I didn't think he would win at Arizona State. And look what he's done. He's been competitive, even though Jeff Fisher has never coached a down in college football. So I don't know. It's a crazy – listen, a few years ago, if you remember, Johnny, you know, people were trying to decide who was going to be the next coach of the Razorbacks. And you know who it was? It was Bobby Petrino for the Atlanta Falcons.
And how did that work out? How did that work out?
Well, it worked out good until he was on the motorcycle. It worked out good until that. You know, top 10 program. And come to find out, I don't know if you heard this, Johnny, but apparently Lane Kiffin was about to take the job at Arkansas until Petrino took the job. I don't know if you heard that today or not, but according to Raiders officials, that the Lane Kiffin thought he was going to get the job at Arkansas. So
do you realize this is not a good thing to have Lane Kiffin as your head coach? I mean, do you realize
all I know is that you know who Arkansas plays next year, right?
Of what, Florida Atlantic?
Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Oh, so let's see. Let's hire him just to get back at Tennessee. Is that? Is this where Arkansas has fallen to? Let me ask you this: You played college football and all that. When you were in the fourth grade, when you were nine, were you paying attention to college football?
No.
All right, so that's sad because I was getting ready to make a point because I was, but I grew up in a football state. I grew up in Alabama, so you know maybe there's a reason why we were paying attention. But the point I was going to make is this: that if you're nine, or if you were nine in 2011, then you remember when Arkansas in the month of November. Forget about being the third best team in the SEC West. You were the number three team in the country. Number three team in the country behind LSU and Alabama.
Right. That's right. That's correct.
So for those that...
So Johnny, for those who think, and that's what we talk about on our morning show here at 103.7 The Buzz, is that for those Razorback fans who go, well, never be there. Listen, we were there.
This decade.
We were exactly long ago. That's
this
exactly
decade.
Right.
Yeah, this particular decade.
Yeah. Yes.
You didn't
That's
have to
right.
go. You didn't. You're not like Minnesota and going back when JFK was president. You know this.
Before that in Minnesota, Johnny. Come on, is it early 1900s for Minnesota? Yeah, we were there. We were there just within the last decade. That's exactly right.
Now Minnesota won the national championship in 1960. Don't you take away from Minnesota's success now?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's go take one step back here. And there's something that I know you're very proud of, and certainly if you're an assistant coach, you're proud of it because usually it means a nice head coaching opportunity and a nice pay raise as well. The Frank Broyles Award. It goes to the top assistant coach as far as in football, as far as the two divisions. Talk about how this came into being and the development of it over the recent years. And obviously the individuals who have won this award, big names on this award, mainly because of the opportunities. Well, they had success, they get honored for it, and, oh, by the way, then programs say, hey, maybe we should hire, instead of going with a head coach somewhere, let's go with one of these up-and-coming assistant coaches.
Well, thanks, Johnny. I appreciate that. Yeah, I created this award 24 years ago to honor Coach Broyles and his legacy. I mean, look at Joe Gibbs and Barry Switzer and Hayden Fry and Johnny Majors and Jimmy Johnson. All those guys were assistant coaches under Frank Broyles, and that's why we do the Broyles Award. And actually, we just announced the 41 nominees for 2019 yesterday, and probably I think 15 of the top 20 teams had a representative there. Obviously, one of the guys that really stands out, I'll just give you an example, Joe Brady. Look what Joe Brady has done
Absolutely.
In LSU for those Tigers. And so, obviously, he's a guy that I would imagine has a great chance to be a finalist and be a winner. You look back, Lincoln Riley won this award when he was under Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. I can even go back, if you will, Johnny, Chris Peterson, who is the head coach at Washington. He was a two-time finalist over at that time under Boise State. Brent Venables has won this award. Bud Foster. Some guys are career assistants. Some guys turn out to be head coaches. It's just a great way. This is year 24 to honor some of the top coaches in America. Some assistant coaches, Johnny, are great assistant coaches. That's all they're going to be. I will give you Lane Kiffin was a Broyles Award finalist at Alabama, under Nick Saban. So it's just a great way for us to honor, the great assistant coaches in America and also honor the legacy of Frank Broyles.
I was going to be funny and say, well, I guess there's always exceptions as far as those can be really good assistant coaches and be consistently as far as head coaches, but I don't want to take away from your award by saying such things.
Yes.
You can tell I don't have a lot of like for Lane Kiffin. It has nothing to do with what happened at Tennessee. This is the whole body of Lane Kiffin-ness, all right? So.
Let me say this, Johnny, real quick, too. Jeremy Pruitt was a two-time finalist. He was a finalist at Florida State, and he was a finalist at Alabama. So, one of the issues at Arkansas, we make the analogy. Look what Tennessee has done in the last 6 weeks with Jeremy Pruitt. That did not happen with Chip Morris at Arkansas, and that's why he was fired. There was no progress. It, you know, the team did not progress. They did not develop. They did not get better. You look at Tennessee, and they are. So Jeremy Pruitt is somebody we root for. Tom Herman at Texas. So, you know, not every assistant coach becomes a head coach and becomes a successful head coach. You look at guys like Sam Pittman and other coaches that are not great, you know, head coaches. But the assistant coach is the backbone of college football, Johnny, and we're glad to be able to honor them.
All right, let's get back to your thoughts as far as where we stand. Are you good with – I keep saying this all the time. You know, in basketball, you know, I'm fine with 3 weeks, 64, 68, 69, whatever the case may be. I'm good with that. In college football, I mean, as I pointed out earlier, 11 teams going into November 16th still have national championship hopes because they you can make the case for all 11 of them to be one of the four playoff teams. I don't, and if you start watering this down, if you expand it to eight, every year, the previous five, you're talking about a minimum of two teams with two losses, and two or three cases, you're talking about a three-team team with three losses that would have been part of your eight-team playoff.
Johnny, I do awards for Division II, Division III, and NAIA. I've been doing it for now for the last 7 years. One is the Cliff Harris Award that goes to the top, you know, small college defensive player of the year. Listen, these small colleges have been doing, you know, 14 weeks, 4 weeks of playoffs for, you know, decades. And the fact that we feel like we can't do that for FBS Division I is silly. There's no question. Let's get this sucker up to eight at least.
I don't. I just don't want it watered down. I don't want it watered down. That's all. I mean, it's fine in the other levels. Something about the purity of the FBS, former Division I, I don't want it watered down because if you throw in an extra layer, the best team is not always winning the national championship.
Yeah, Johnny, give me eight. Give me eight. That's all I want. Give me eight. I think four's been nice. Give me eight, and I'm happy with eight. I'll be happy with eight.
I cannot believe we've gone this whole segment, and you have not you have not thrown out two words. Gus Malzahn. I'm shocked that you have not thrown out Gus Malzahn.
No. Listen, I love Gus. He was an old teammate of mine at Arkansas. We made a run at Gus a couple years ago, and he got a you know $100 million contract out of it. So Gus is going to end up. Gus will either beat Alabama or Georgia. He'll beat one of those two teams in the next few weeks, and he'll keep his job at Auburn. But Arkansas will not offer Gus Malzahn a chance to come back to Arkansas.
I think he's probably the only multimillionaire that I feel sorry for, mainly because of the fact that it's like, oh, we got to get a better coach. This is the Auburn fan talking. You realize your two losses. You see the teams you've lost to?
Yes,
you're talking about
yes.
Number one, and there's Florida, and you're like, oh, we have a lousy coach. This year, that was that Nick Saban cloud hanging over Baton Rouge, and it extended over to Auburn as well.
Well, I've seen Alabama play in person, and I've seen Auburn play in person. If Auburn can just create a few first downs, I think they're good enough to beat them at home, just like they did 2 years ago. I may be wrong, but you're right. Boy, I tell you, it's a love-hate relationship there in Auburn. But Gus had the chance to come back to Arkansas a few years ago. He saw the talent situation much better at Auburn than Arkansas, and that's why he stayed.
Lane Kiffin at Arkansas, huh?
I don't know. Who knows? Listen, we just want some wins, Johnny.
Oh, you that's right, because I remember when Bobby Petrino had the wreck with the girl on the back that wasn't his wife, and the fans said, we don't care as long as he's winning games. He can do whatever he wants.
I think probably about 65% of Arkansas Razorback fans would take Bobby Petrino back in a second. I'm just telling you. You know, I had him at the Touchdown Club a few weeks back. And he apologized for what happened and got a standing ovation. Listen, we're at the low point, Johnny. We're at the low point. We played football for 100-plus years at Arkansas, and this is the lowest we've ever been.
Well, you know, I go back. Here we are celebrating 150 years. And if you go back the 100th year, I mean, you had President Nixon on side. You had Arkansas taking on Texas, a game moved from the start to the end of the season. So you had a number one battle there. I mean, that was 50 years ago. 50 years ago.
Johnny, you have to be over 50 to know that information, so you and I can understand that. But kids today have no idea. Yeah, Arkansas used to be in the 60s along with Alabama and Texas were the top three programs in America with Frank Broyles. And even with the same recruiting base he has now, he got it done. One day, Johnny, Arkansas will win again. I don't know how long it will take, but one day – Arkansas win again.
Well, we've heard from you. Before we let you go, it's the Christmas season. You know, I'm going to say it's Christmas season because Thanksgiving 2 weeks away. So the holiday season, Christmas season is upon us, right? So what would Lou Holtz think about this situation with Arkansas right now?
Hey, Johnny, if I was still the coach of the University of Arkansas, we wouldn't be talking about winning two football games. We'd be talking about going to the national championship, and don't you forget it, Johnny.
Okay. I'm sorry. Very good.
Love Lou Holtz. Listen, Lou was a great coach. We love playing for Lou. We certainly did.
Did you have to, like, keep, like, an umbrella as when he was talking so you didn't get spit all over you when he was talking?
If you sat on the front two rows when he walked in, that's exactly right. He's just spitting, but that's okay.
That's like going to SeaWorld back in the day. Same thing applies.
That's it.